I'd just like to have a few minutes with you in those letters with that thought. Thou hast left thy first love. What is it to lose our first love? What is it to grow cold? I can speak for myself, and I can't speak for anyone else. But nevertheless, the testimony of all of God's people who have been honest with themselves, that we are drawn to be thankful to our God, that it's on account of his faithfulness that I can stand in the presence of God. I am thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is the surety of that better covenant, that eternal covenant. And as that surety, our God, God the Father, looks to his Son for everything. He looks to his Son for faith. He looks to his Son for love. And he finds it. And in our flesh, he has left us. He's left us with this weakness, that we would know something of the need for us to walk humbly before our God. We would know something of what it was to be dependent upon him, that we are left with this flesh that causes us, as Paul says of the Philippians, yet no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. So what is it? What is it to leave the first love? Quite simply, I think it is, isn't it? The first love is that first shining of light upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The first love is the reception of the gospel as good news. Not good advice about something I must do, but good news about something that's done. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. To have that first love is to hear the gospel as a sinner. As a sinner in need of a saviour. To have that first love is to be stripped of any righteousness whatsoever. To have that first love is for the Lord Jesus Christ to be precious and for his blood to be precious to us. That first love. The love of many grows cold, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the increase in iniquity, the love of many grows cold. You would think that when wickedness grew in this world, that there would be an increase in love, but we have a promise from our God. So I wanted us to go through these letters and just look what it is to have that first love, and to look at the fact that there are two churches in these seven that receive a commendation and no rebuke from God. And let's just look at those briefly and look at the activities that go on amongst those believers in those churches. Now, these are real churches. But also, like all of the Word of God, it is living and active. And this is written to us here in Nowra on the 2nd of May 2021. And if we don't see that as being relevant and being the essence of it, then we've missed what God is saying to us through his Word. See, what happens to the two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia? In Smyrna, he says in verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. See, they see themselves and they know themselves to be poverty, to be beggars. But thou art rich. You recall what the Laodiceans said over there, don't you? In verse 17 of chapter 3, the Laodiceans said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. See, the people in Smyrna had been granted by God the grace gift of being impoverished. And I know the blasphemy of them which are Jews, which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You're suffering tribulation, and there's more coming. There's more coming. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. There will be tribulation, and it's promised from God, and it has a limit. That's what that means. It has a limit. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. The Philadelphians are commended by God. He says in verse 8 of chapter 3, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut it. What a glorious word from our God. For thou hast little strength. So the people who aren't rebuked for forsaking their first love have tribulation, and they are impoverished and they're suffering. And they have little strength, little strength. And has kept my word and has not denied my name. They have little strength. Is that you? Does that describe us here today? Little strength. But you've kept his word. You've held on to his word. And that's what you do, don't you? Where there is no rebuke about leaving first love, there's tribulation, there's little strength, there's poverty, and there's a holding on to the word of God. And let's look at what it is that we might learn from these other letters to these churches about what it is to lose your first love. There is, I believe, in these other letters to these other four churches, a picture of declension. And I'm not saying for one moment that there aren't many, many other pictures involved in all this, but I want us to just look at it from this perspective for a little while, Lord willing. In verse 13, he says to the church in Pergamos, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, that thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam. You can read about the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam was the man employed by Balak to come and curse the people of Israel. He was warned by a donkey not to go there. And Balaam, if you read his speeches in Numbers, you will find that Balaam doesn't say one single thing which is wrong about God. And yet Balaam is held up before us in the scriptures in any time he's mentioned as being one of the most notorious false teachers in all of the world, and typifies false teachers. And what was the doctrine of Balaam? It says there, doesn't it? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. What was a stumbling block before the children of Israel? You go down and you camp beside them. If you want God to curse Israel, you go down and you camp beside them. And the Moabitess women will look very attractive to the Jewish boys, and vice versa with girls and boys on the other side. And you'll have them. You'll have them in no time at all eating things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. But note what it says. You have them there. So they're not doing anything other than being there, which is extraordinary, isn't it? Let's go down to the next one in Thyatira. He says, I know thy works, verse 19, and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy first works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I've a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach. Do you see, in the church in Pergamos, you have them there. So you tolerate them in your presence. In Thyatira, you suffer her to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. And so, in effect, Jezebel, of course, is the wife of Ahab, and she was the one that introduced and supported and promoted the worship of Baal in Israel in those days of Elijah the prophet. And you know what happened on Mount Carmel, where the Lord revealed himself after 3.5 years of drought, and he came to that mountain and he made sure that all the prophets of Baal were there at the mountain as well, and he had them set up these two altars, didn't they, and the prophets of Baal whipped themselves, and the prophets of Baal cried out to Baal all day long, and Elijah mocks them. In fact, he says in one case in the original, he says, maybe he's gone to the bathroom and he needs to be woken up. And of course, then nothing happens, and then Elijah makes that altar with the stones and digs a trench around it and lays the ox upon the altar and then fills the ditch with water and calls upon the God of Israel. And it's the God who responds by fire who will be the true God. And it's a remarkable picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is. And what happened? The fire came down from heaven, and it not only consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the stones, it licked up the water, and it consumed the dust. The fire of God's wrath that fell on the Lord Jesus Christ didn't consume him. Why? Because he consumed the fire. All of the wrath of God upon all of God's children fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he consumed it. Dead but alive again. And the prophets of Baal are then killed, and Elijah flees from Jezebel because he's frightened of her. And you know something of the rest of the story. Elijah meets with the Lord down at Mount Sinai, and basically God says to him, what are you doing down here, Elijah? What are you doing down here? You don't come to God by Mount Sinai. You go back across the Jordan and a chariot will come and collect you and take you to heaven. But Jezebel was that woman. And so it's interesting, isn't it? In Pergamos, you have them there. In Thyatira, they are teaching. They are allowing this woman, and I think it's a picture of false religion of all sorts, to teach and seduce. In Sardis, what an extraordinary word from God to Sardis in verse 1 of chapter 3. Unto the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works. God knows their works. And thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. They're living on the basis of their reputation. They're living on the basis of what they have done. And what a remarkable reputation these churches had. No other churches could say it in all of history. What could they? Planted by Paul, pastored by Timothy and these others we read of in the New Testament, John as the bishop and overseer of them. They knew these people personally. They had in their midst someone who had leant upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only apostle who had been at the cross and watched the blood flow and seen the spear piercing the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, and out come water and blood. What a remarkable testimony. Those guys didn't have any. What a history they had. How many How many have a name that you live and you're dead? Now God asks searching questions. He asks searching questions of me. I trust he asks searching questions of you. But I love what he says, even to these people, be watchful and strengthen, verse 2, which that things which remain that are ready to die. Isn't one of the most amazing pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of the scriptures? That a smoking flax he will not quench. You know what a flax plant is? They have long, very sinuous leaves. And they used to use them up the road from us for tying vegetables together. They're so strong, and you can make paper out of them and all sorts of things. But you can also make a wick out of a piece of flax. And you can imagine it, can't you? A smoking flax he will not quench. All it is this piece of grass. And all that there is a sign of life. It's a little bit of smoke, but inside of that is a little flame. And he says, I'm not going to quench it. I'm not going to quench it. A smoking flax he will not quench. A bruised reed, nothing could be weaker than a bruised reed. Be watchful and strengthen. Let's go down to the Laodiceans. You see what's happened. I just want you to follow the pattern, and like I said, there are many, many others in these letters, but you in Pergamos, they have them there. In Thyatira, they're teaching and seducing. In Sardis, they're living on the basis of their reputation and what they've done in the past. And the Laodiceans, what do they say? Thou sayest, verse 17, I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing. Verse 15, the Lord says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. I don't have time to look at all of that. But to be cold is to be uncomfortable. I don't like being cold. And the older I get, the more uncomfortable I am in the heat. In the city where my friend Gilbert is in Hyderabad, the temperatures this time of the year generally reach in the high 40s, and that for another month. These people are suffering in the most extraordinary conditions of heat. And I don't like heat. The older I get, the more I like my air conditioner. But to be lukewarm is to be comfortable. To be lukewarm is to be comfortable, isn't it? It's to be neither hot nor cold. So then, verse 16, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's a remarkable declension in a church that had the most remarkable history and the most remarkable people teaching it. What a lesson. What a lesson it is for us. You see, the church in Smyrna is impoverished and in tribulation, but the church in Laodicea is rich. The church in Philadelphia has little strength, but the church in Laodicea says, I have need of nothing. These are letters to the churches, and they're letters to us personally. Now let's finish with verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me. What do you buy with? Without money, without price, says Isaiah. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. In the white raiment in the next page is the pages over is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, It's the only clothing for people in the presence of God is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love. See, it begins, these letters to the churches, it begins with a rebuke about leaving your first love. It ends with what the Lord will do in the lives of his people. God rebukes all that he loves, and he chastens all that he calls to come near him. As many as I love, verse 19, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, verse 20. It's one of the most misquoted and misunderstood verses in all of the scriptures, isn't it? I stand at the door and knock. If he's standing at the door of a church that claims to be his, then he's not inside. That's really the picture, isn't it? I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, you know, something of what's exercised some of my thoughts this week, I trust the Lord causes us in this time that we have in his presence to allow for his questions to be asked of us and to have him wonderfully and graciously come and bring a clothing and bring an eye salve and bring gold tried in the fire that we might be rich in his presence. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts. Let's have a break for a second.